A lot of people haven't heard a podcast from me for ages. I'm the preacher, and I've got special guests here today. Unbelievable. Mr. Sonny Burgess.
Bob McCrawford.
From the Pacers.
Right.
We're here at the Rhythm Riot. Fantastic weekend on the Canberra Sands Coast, and you're the lead act, and I heard you last night. It was a fantastic gig. So, Sonny, and you've been around a long, long time. You know, it's been a while.
Well, yeah, I've been around, started out in, well, I guess 1950, playing. And still trying to play.
So where did it all start for you?
It started with my two uncles who played fiddle and guitar and harmonica. And they'd take me around, we'd do country dances at somebody's house on Saturday night. I played rhythm for them. And that was the start of it.
I will have standing on a corner with my bucket in my hand. I'm just waiting for one that ain't got no man. Cause my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Oh, oh, yeah. Well, there ain't no use. I mean, you're working so hard. Cause I got a woman in the boss man's yard. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole.
Come together. I mean, was that the first band you were in, or was it?
Well, yeah, not the first band, but that was most of the guys were part of the first band. That started out when we went to Bob King's. We had a little band called the Rocky Road Ramblers, which was off. We didn't even have drums at that time. We had Gerald Jackson, John Ray Hubbard, Bobby Stoner. Well, Kern Kennedy actually did a Bobby. And myself, and we went to Bob King's, who's on Rock and Roll Highway 67, to get a job. And anyway, we finally wound up getting it, but Gerald didn't go with us. We picked up a guy named Paul Whaley did the singing for us home. And anyway, we had a pretty good little, we picked up a drummer, Russ Smith, and we started playing. Then we went to Sun when Elvis came to Newport or Jackson County. We opened for him four different times. And we had Funky Caldwell on the saxophone and clarinet at that time. Of course, Kern was on the piano. Then we had myself, Russ, and Johnny Ray.
Well, what you gonna do out of half past eight? Yeah, what you gonna do? About a half past eight, gonna call up a baby, ask her for a day. Well, what you gonna do if your house is on fire? Yes, what you gonna do? just a little bit higher, 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 just a little bit higher. Gonna keep on flying all through that sky, oh my.
Remember the clubs and the atmosphere and the crowd. What was it like then? You know, it must have been amazing.
It was kind of like last night, you know.
Yeah.
The crowds over here are amazing for us, you know, and they're dancing. That's kind of the way it was then.
Well, we love you guys over here. I mean, you know, every time you guys come over here, I'm sure you get a packed audience. Rock and roll, I don't know, something about the English culture. It's inbred, as it were.
Yeah. Yep, thanks to you English and rest of Europe and Japan and everywhere except South America has not never been as big. It's big, but not near like it is here.
So when did you get your first guitar? When was that?
That was when my mama bought my mom's several book, $3.25, Gene Autry guitar. And they're collectibles now if you had one.
What's been happening? I said, well, I feel so good. We're gonna boogie, boogie to that parade day. Yeah.
Well, we went to rest and get about eat. We sit down. He said, tell me, man. I said, what's been happening? I said, well, I got a gal. She's long and she's tall. Oh, I feel so good. We're gonna boogie. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, now boogie, children. She told Papa, she said, well, I heard. Papa, he told Mama, said, don't you believe a word. Well, I feel so good. We're gonna boogie like crazy. Yeah. Well, I'm gonna go to school, yeah. And the children, too. Ain't nobody boogie like me and you. We're gonna boogie like crazy.
You went to Sun, you were in the
55,
Paces.
Last part of 55.
Meeting Sam Phillips, and what happened there at Sun? You know,
he told us to go home and work on some songs, which we did, pick up a couple of more guys. So we picked up Joe Lewis and Jack Nance. And Jack was a drummer, but we wanted him to play saxophone because everybody around us there at that time had a saxophone player. But he didn't have it, but he had an old trumpet, which turned out really for the best for us. Joe was a guitar player and bass player, and he wound up, well, Jack wound up with Conway Twitty, and we broke up in 57. That's when Bobby Crawford come on board.
Bob, did you come in quite late to it?
August of 57 is when I came in.
And Aldridge, I never played with Aldridge. Yeah. Oh, Bobby came in the latter part of 57 when the original Pacer broke up. Jack Nance and Joe Lewis went with Conway Twitty or Harold Jenkins at that time. He played a lot in our part of the country. They paid pretty good in Canada for gigs. You'd do not pubs but clubs, and you didn't dance. They just sat there and drank and looked at you. While Jack was there, he and Harold Jenkins, Conway Twitty, wrote Only Make Believe, so the rest is history. Then Jack Twitty broke up the rock and roll band. I played the bass for him in 1960.
Some interesting stories. I mean, when was your first single? I know the first single, but
1956, Redhead One, We Want Boogers released.
Was it a hit straight away for you?
But never a big hit. I think it sold a couple hundred thousand.
It was certainly a wild record for its time.
Yeah, it was. It did all right in our part of the country, yeah. Kind of like Elvis. See, Elvis was not a national star at that time. It was regional. Most of the guys were. Redhead Woman was number one in the charts in Boston, of all places, 1956. And we never played Boston. Never even knew about it until 40 years later. Jack Nance was up there with Dionne Warwick. He was road manager for Dionne Warwick.
The track everyone recognizes you for. How did that come about?
Well, I just no particular reason. I just liked the color red. One thing, my wife had reddish hair, so maybe that was just kind of like a fiddle.
You didn't dye your hair red or anything,
did you? Yeah, I did. That was when Crawford and I was in California.
Yeah.
58. We toured a lot with Cash. Bob Neal was managing us, Cash, Roy Orbison, Jerry Lee Lewis, and anyway, he'd stick us on a lot of package shows with Cash, and we'd back Orbison. It's in one of those books about us backing Orbison on those things. Anyway, We tried to turn my hair white. Me and my wife said I was going to bleach it white. Well, when we did, it didn't work. It turned orangey red. So that lasted. And did have a red suit. We had those red tux suits.
Yeah.
It must have been wild when he came out on stage with red hair.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
We didn't wear a hat back then, no. Either.
That must have been wild. I read something about it, and it was actually off this album, where you jumped into the stage on some sort of... Was that actually real?
Yeah, that was real. Because everybody in the band did except Kern, who's playing piano, and Russ Smith, the drummer. They keep the rhythm going. Joe Lewis and I had 50-foot guitar cords, so we could jump off of the stage. And we did. And John Ray would jump off and Jack Nance would jump off. Then we'd be out there in the crowd playing. Everything's still going on playing-wise.
You didn't ever hurt yourself, like jumping on people?
No, we were in pretty good shape then.
Yeah, yeah. Experience coming from a small background and then getting propelled up in relation to going to Sun, doing the recordings there, bringing out the single. How did it build up after Sun? Did you go on a world tour?
No, we did. We were playing all the time with the Pacers in. By the way, the original Pacers was one of the best show bands that ever lived. We went on stage with everybody that in the tour thing, and nobody touched us. They was like a three-ring circus. And they were really good musicians, let's face it. Jack was a music major in college. Joe Lewis could play guitar and bass too, which wound up playing bass for Twitty and talking for him. Kern Kennedy's still around. Kern was offered a job by Presley in 55. We played the last show that Presley did in 55. Or Sun Records, and a week or two later, he went with RCA Victor. Right now, we'd like to do one that Stan Kester wrote for Elvis back in 1954. Stayed on the charts longer than any other record that Elvis ever recorded. I forgot to remember to forget. I forgot to remember to forget. Can't seem to get her off my mind.
never miss her, but I found out somehow. I think about her almost all the time. Then she went away. I made myself promise that I'd soon forget we ever met. But something sure is wrong, 'cause I'm so new and lonely I forgot to remember to forget.
Go for you after the first single. So the first single was released. Where did you go? Did you bring out an album or?
No, to put out an album with Sam, you had to do five. You had to have six releases, I believe, six singles. Then he puts out an album. He's got to. So the only people he ever actually put an album out on was Elvis, Johnny Cash, and Jerry Lee. But that was the reason. Riley came along the same time we did. That was the reason. He wouldn't put one of these out unless you had six releases. We had five.
And I hear the masters for the original recordings have disappeared. Is that correct, or is that?
Well, he had the, who knows, he had the records, you know, the tapes. But I think some of them were erased because we recorded stuff in 55 and 56. By the way, we recorded the 56 stuff, a lot of that was recorded in 55. So, anyway, he had the tapes and stuff, but some of the stuff has never been released, so it didn't. They erased it, that tape over tape.
Blue, you got me singing.
When was your first visit abroad? You know, when did people start inviting you out of America to go and play internationally?
Well, a lot of the guys came over here in the late 70s. That's like Warren Smith and Charlie Feathers. Billy Lee Riley came over here, and he'd come home. He married a girl from Newport. And he'd come home and said, man, you need to go. I really wasn't interested in coming over. I was working for a living, then playing once in a while on weekend with the Sun Rhythm Section. And really wasn't interested in coming over. Well, Barry and Lee Johns, I don't know whether you remember them or not, but they were real good. They came over to Newport and talked me into coming over with Willie Jeffries, and Willie brought me over for the first time. It was, it was great. We did it, went out to Weymouth. Paul Barrett was head of that. Willie wasn't doing any booking. He was just with us, and Barry and Lee. And it was really a good show. It was unusual because you'd have these people wearing the teddy boy suits and the gal dressing in the fancy skirts and so forth, and we'd never seen anything like that.
You are the one.
Teddy Boy Revolution was, so it kind of changed from the drape suits to the jeans and the bowling shirts, etc.
Yeah, it was something. They'd stay up with the little chalets, they call them, really little trailers by the venue there, and they'd stay up all night. You'd see them. I had a friend with me, Gary Grady, from Home Bass Player, and Bob Fish was our backing band. First time I ever met him, fine musician, and always had a good band.
So other than the UK, where have you been? You must have been lots of different places.
Well, let's see, been Austria, Japan, all over Europe.
Sweden, Germany, Australia.
Spain.
Italy. Yeah, Italy.
Holland.
Yeah, Holland, yeah.
So how was it for you in Japan? It must have been amazing. Something
it's great,
different.
Yeah, Japan is good. It's like it is here.
And when did you first visit Japan? Was it, you know, was it in
three years ago?
Yeah.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
We were going in 1989, I guess it was, with the Sun Rhythm Section. I don't know whether you're familiar with the Sun Rhythm Section. That was Paul Burleson, Stan Kessler, Smoochie Smith, Marcus Van Story, DJ Fontana, and myself. And we went everywhere. We were going to Japan. Anyway, we had some lawyer in Washington, D.C. that set that up. And their economy went bad. Their economy has been up and down two or three times, but it went bad. So that got canceled also. Didn't get to go that time. That was another good show band because it had all those all-stars. Paul was the rock and roll trio, which is still famous. We had Kessler wrote 5 songs for Elvis. Still worked at that time. He still worked for Sam Phillips there at the studio. And then DJ was, of course, Elvis's drummer. We started out with J.M. Van Eaton playing. That's Billy Riley, Little Green Men. His boss told him, said, you want to play music or work for a living? So he took the working.
Yeah. He had a good job.
He still got a good job. He's a bond salesman. Anyway,
he's a bond salesman.
Marcus was retired. He wasn't doing anything. He'd tickle him to death. He loved it. He'd all about putting on a show. Now, he'd jump off the stages, and he was 81 years old at that time. Crazy dude, boy.
Yeah, I got it now. Go ahead. Wait a minute, I can't remember the tune. Caught up to Armageddon, Armageddon, caught to Calvary. I got
call out the army, go call out the navy, call out the cavalry. Free on high, call the FBI, find my baby for me. Get all the butchers, gonna get all the bakers, gonna get all the cooks I see. They won't be cooking, they'll all be looking, find my baby for me. Find my baby for me. Need some love and you'll see. United Nations, all the radio stations, find my baby for me.
Joined the band in 57.
Right.
How did he get to join the band? What happened?
Well, I heard that through someone, I heard that their drummer had left, went with Conway Twitty. And I called them and went up and auditioned and got the job.
Was it as easy as that?
No, it wasn't, because I had a lot to learn. And it was the band I had played with, you know, didn't play very much, and I didn't know very much, so it was really hard. You had to learn fast. You didn't have time to.
So by 57, the Pacers were a pretty big band, I would assume, and you know, you're putting out some great tracks and backing Elvis. Well, you weren't backing Elvis, were you?
No.
You did some club events with Elvis.
We opened for him.
You opened for him.
Like these shows where you got somebody that's headlining and then you have act open for him.
Yep.
Well, that was our job, to open up, like we did with Cash.
So it must, Bob, it must have been a mad adventure to go from... Were you already a star at that time?
No, I lived in a small town. I'd never hardly been to a club, let alone played in one. And then, of course, I joined the band in August, and then in January we went to Canada, and I'd never been out of the country and never seen anything like it, you know. And then later when we traveled with Cash, I'd really never seen anything like that. And
that must have been really amazing.
Yeah, it was, because he had a crowd every night, and it was... And we went everywhere he went, you know, and it was, we got to see the country that, you know, in the States.
So it must have been crazy in those days, because, let's see, planes. Aeroplanes didn't really exist as commercial flights, and it must have been, you must have been on Greyhound buses or private coaches.
No, cars.
Yeah. Cars.
Yeah.
So do you have any funny stories for the listeners who you might remember from traveling to a gig or where it all went wrong?
Well, we were going to California. Yeah, talking about that. We were going to California, and out in Arizona, there's a place out there that the weather stays bad all the time. Anyway, come a big snowstorm, and we got there, and we slid off with the snow and ice. They had to stop in this town anyway because we couldn't get any further, but we slid off in a snowbank, and the road... people was working on the highway come along and pull us out, and we go on up. But back home, Johnny Ray Hubbard called home, and they had heard there's a car just like the one we was driving. Four guys in it had went off the highway there and crashed and burned in that snowstorm. So Johnny Ray called home, his butt, and there's a crying. They thought he was dead.
Well, I got a car, ain't got no gas. I got a check, but it won't cash. I got a woman, ain't got no class. Well, I got a guitar, ain't got no string. I got 10 fingers, ain't got no ring. I got a woman, ain't got
Phillips, was he a hard man? Did he pressure you to get stuff out? Or?
No, no, he didn't pressure you. Didn't. He just turned the machine on, but he only did our first session, Redhead One, We Want a Boogie. The rest of them, Jack Clements did. Jack had got on board then, and Jack did them all. But no, Sam was a nice guy. He just was a businessman. No, he just turned the machine on and he'd say, well, try it again. You know, he didn't really do a lot of technical stuff. Now, Jack was more detailed in the stuff, but Jack was actually a musician.
So, you know, I've seen pictures of the studio and Sam Phillips behind the mixing controls, and I see he's got an old Presto record cutting machine there. Did he actually do the masters in house, or was he sending masters?
No, they did them there. And then his brother had a distribution company. That's Tom Phillips. He had a distribution company there in Memphis, and they distributed Sam's records and everybody else's records in the Mid-South area. The Plastics Incorporated, I believe, did all the pressing. It's just really interesting to follow that history and follow and to remember it as well, and to get it logged down as history, because it's an important time for rock and roll. It was an important time, and the fact that Sun Studios came out and a lot of great artists that came to Sun, including yourselves, you know, just fantastic stuff. What's amazing is that that little label only lasted about 10 years, and about from 55 Elvis years through 58, I guess it was. It was a dominant label, and it's still around. It was a little label, but when Sam quit fooling with it, and around 57, 58, he got into other enterprises and fired Jack, so it just left up to whoever came along and wanted to do it, and it just kept. And finally, in like about 62, it just died out.
Well, I jumped in my flipper, took my baby to town. Guess I wasn't doing nothing but it cat around. Did the pan and had a boogie all over town. Well, down Front Street, baby. Ought to see the lights
going back to non-music stuff, you know, I've got hobbies. You guys must have hobbies. Did you have time for stuff like that, or was it always music?
No. I had hobbies, yeah. I was a baseball player one time. So I love baseball. I also collected movies, stuff like on VCR, stuff like that. I still go to a lot of movies.
And yourself, Bob?
Well, I was the same way with baseball and other sports, and I officiate or referee football, American football, and I always like to fish a little bit, and there were times when we had to give that up, of course, to travel or things. You just had to give everything up then.
Yeah, it's always a good time for a bit of R&R, and I believe I read somewhere that you were actually in the military. Is that correct, Sonny?
Out of what?
Were you in the military?
No. Oh, yeah, I was in the Army. Yeah, I was stationed over here in Germany.
And when was that?
In 52 and 53.
And was that something you were forced to go to?
2 years.
2 years?
2 years. You forced your, you had
military
to do it.
Service.
When you reach 21, they put you in the Army.
And was that something you found a bit of a shock, or was it...
Yeah, it's kind of a shock. I got lucky. The rest of my company that I started out with went to Korea, and a lot of them got killed. But anyway, I got lucky and went to Germany and met some musicians out of Texas. They were all cooks. Seemed like a lot of cooks. Anyway, they had the Grand Ole Opry in Frankfurt every Saturday, called USARAR. Grand Ole Opry, which was what they called the United Services over in Germany then, over here. And you had to audition for that thing. Anyway, me and the cooks, you had the band, and all I did was play guitar with them. And had a big old boy that looked like Slim Whitman was doing the singing, tall guy, mustache and a bit. And we was one of the 8 bands that did that thing. Every Saturday they'd have a Grand Ole Opry there at Country Club in Frankfurt.
Well, it's all right now, mama. It's all right with you. It's all right now, mama. Any way you do, honey, it's all right. She done told me, Papa done told me too. Son, that girl you fooling with ain't no good for you, honey. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right now, mama. Anyway, what you do, you always got it. Told me to, son, that girl you're fooling with
ain't no good for you. It's all right. It's all right. It's all right now, mama. Whatever you do. Well, I'm leaving town tomorrow. We've been down the shore. Won't be bothered with that. Hanging around the door. It's all right. That's all right.
As I say, it's been a great pleasure to meet you, and it's been fantastic having you on the show and getting some of that history and understanding Sonny Burgess and understanding Sun Records and understanding the people that were involved. Fantastic. I don't know what to say. I just want to thank Robin and Jerry Chatterbox for bringing you guys over to the Rhythm Riot here in 2011.
We're glad to come.
And let's hope you come again soon, definitely.
Hope so. Always have a good time. Rockabilly Rave is a good show.
Oh yeah, the Rockabilly Rave too. That's in the summer.
That's not what they call it. What they call this one?
Rhythm Riot.
This is called the Rhythm Riot. And not to correct you or anything, but on stage last night you
said
thanks for inviting me to the Rockabilly Rave.
Wonder why it calls it two different names.
The Rockabilly Rave is Jerry Chatterbox, and the Rhythm Riot is Robin.
Okay,
but Jerry's involved as a partner. Right. So.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That gets well.
So there's a confusion.
Nobody told us. It's like Bobby thought Robin was a woman.
Yeah.
But I'll say one thing. But to make the story short, he's really done a good job of, he sent us an itinerary of where we're going and what we would do every day, and so nobody does this hardly in the business except the major shows. If you do a major show, like we did with Bruce Springsteen, we did a benefit for 9/11 at Red Bay, New Jersey, and they had all these stars, and Kern and I, Kennedy and I, went up and played on it with DJ Fontana, and then Bruce Springsteen's bass player and Elvis's bass man played with us. Anyway, to make the story short, they tell you what to do, where to go, and so you don't, there's no confusion. But a lot of these shows, you know, nobody tells you anything, you know. So there's the stage.
So the Rhythm Riot is well organized.
Rhythm Riot is well organized.
Here's a song that stayed on the music charts longer than any other song recorded by Presley, written by our bass man Stan Kessler. And here's Sonny Burgess to sing it for you.
I forgot to remember to forget her. I can't seem to get her off my mind. I thought I'd never miss her, but I found out somehow. I think about her almost all the time. I made myself a promise that I'd soon forget we ever met. Oh, but something sure is wrong, 'cause I'm so blue and lonely I forgot to remember to forget. Thank you.
I wanted to ask you this, and I was been thinking about it during the conversations we've had. You must have some favourite artists out there. I mean, every musician has a favourite or has influence eyes that have given them influence over the years. Is there anything out there that you really love?
Well, my favourite, of course, is always Elvis, but I really like Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis out of the Sun Record people. They were super good. You could tell they were stars, they're going to be big. Didn't realize Elvis was going to be as big as he was, but nobody did that. So Jerry Lee was just simply different than everybody else. Out of the modern stars, Bob Seger was one of my favorites. Out of the older guys, Big Joe Turner, the rhythm and blues guy, super good and never got the publicity should have, and Jimmy Reed. See, they always tend to put Howlin' Wolf. But see, to me, Howlin' Wolf, and he was in West Memphis on a radio station, but he was never as good to me as Jimmy Reed was on his records. But they tend to forget those guys. And nowadays, you've got, of course, Springsteen is super good. I like Dave Alvin. You remember Dave, the Blasters?
Yeah.
Super guy, songwriter, top-notch guitar. He learned how to sing. You know, his brother did all the singing in the early Blasters. His brother has got this great voice. He's got the voice that I wish I had. And everybody, huge voice.
You've got a great voice.
But nothing like those guys.
And Bob?
Well, Roy Orbison's somebody that we traveled with, we never thought would be big. And it really turned around for him, and we liked him, and we thought he was a great songwriter and would never do any more. I was shocked when he came out with the Pretty Woman and all those, you know. But about the same with me, because you know we traveled with most of those guys and thought they were great, and to us they were probably the first. You know, yeah. In other parts of the country, you know, they feel like at Philadelphia and all, it was different. But to us, there with the Memphis people was the start of everything. And I think the people over here kind of believe that with the way they still bring all of them that's still alive over here. And through the years brought them here because with Riley and Warren Smith and all the guys that really, you know, helped start the thing out.
Well,
I'll tell you, you didn't know I do a radio show.
You do a radio show?
Yeah, for KASU, 91.9 FM on the radio dial, every Sunday, 5 to 7. And it's Arkansas State University in Jonesboro, Arkansas.
And is that online? Because most of the radio listeners...
Yeah, you can pick it up on the internet. Be wewantaboogie.org.
Wewantaboogie.org, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
Had a cat run around in low down way. Down this road, a time or two before. Don't come home scratching at my door. Don't you mess with me, baby. Mess with me, baby. You don't want me, baby. Baby, don't you mess with me. Oh, here comes Jim Boy. Thank you.
to gave by happiness, but it bought you a Cadillac. Diamond ring, furs up on your back. Baby, now the word out all over town. I heard you been dogging me around. Don't you mess with me, baby. Mess with me, baby. You don't want me, baby. Baby, don't you mess with me.
Just to tell you a bit about the show, I put this out on the internet. It's a podcast. It goes out to about 10,000 listeners around the world. So in Japan, we've got Chinese people that download as well and listen to it. So, you know, Germany, Sweden, England, all over the US as well. So lots and lots of fans out there for rock and roll and roots music. And I just think it's great you guys are still going and you're still coming over and making it all happen for everyone. It's fantastic.
Well, we think it's great over here too.
We appreciate the people over here. We really do.
Tell them keep playing our records.
We will.
Keep bringing us over. That's what it keeps us alive.
So Robin, tell Robin I'm sorry I didn't get his
Yeah, you're a woman. You're a woman.
Right, but,
Maybe he's got red hair.
Hello, I'm Sonny Burgess. Me and the legendary Pacers are going to cut our second live CD here at Rainey's Rec Hall in Drasco, Arkansas. With master engineer John Rainey at the controls, this should be even better than the live number one in Tupelo, Mississippi. Hope you like our songs and come to see us live on stage. Our website, check it out, www.legendarypacers.com.